about.
I am here with
Jennifer.
Jennifer, before we start the movie, it might be good if I check if we're recording. Check, check. Yes, we are.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Welcome to Thoughts for Your Thoughts. I'm Derry Merbles, filling in for David Parker, who took off for 8 months to study the migration patterns of our nation's squirrels. We have not seen him since.
Obama and Biden, are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
How do you keep your head about your...
Oh, man! Oh, man! Oh, man!
Lisa's going through this phase where she doesn't eat any meat.
I don't know about you, but I've been thinking about meat all day long.
I like meat.
Let's go grab some of that meat.
And now...
I could never eat this much meat.
Is that what I hear?
Our feature presentation.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And if you don't mind my saying, you're incredibly sexy in that movie.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Is that a moment?
She is sexable.
Is she sexable or not?
I think she is sexable.
All right. I would like to sex her.
I'm fine with it then.
It is hard to argue.
Although I will say that I'm not familiar with that as a term.
Well, it wasn't.
You're so hard and fast with the rules about the language. She is sexable. How was Kristen Bell? I was out yesterday. I was so sad to miss her. I love her so much.
A, she was fantastic. B, I asked her about the King of Mexico and why she hasn't come on our show.
Yes.
She said he had nothing to do with it.
Really?
It's just she's been busy. I didn't buy it. But she defended Dave and said
she
loves him.
Love didn't die.
That's what she said.
Did Dave come in and woo her?
No, God no.
Really?
Not anywhere near her.
Oh, I would think.
No.
Yeah, that's true. Because we've just finally gotten her back on the show.
No.
You don't unleash Dave on her again, right?
Ooh.
Oh, I love Kristen Bell so much.
Yeah, she's great.
Well, welcome into an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, kids. Today is Tuesday. It's the 21st of August. Here's a story. You guys stop me soon if you talked about Caitlin Nootbaar yesterday. Was Miss Nootbaar mentioned on the program?
I don't believe we talked about a Nootbaar.
This is, look, people are uptight, right?
Sure.
Tell me what this deal is. She's a straight A Oklahoma high school student. She was the class valedictorian.
Right. Okay.
But they're not going to give her diploma until she writes an apology. Because in her valedictorian address during her high school graduation ceremony, she used the word hell.
Is she at a Christian college or something?
Doesn't appear to be. Well, at the Prague High School. It doesn't say it's a Christian school in this article. Apparently, she said in her speech, she said as graduation approached, she has she changed direction a couple of times in high school in terms of what she wanted to do. She was going to be a veterinarian, then she was going to be a nurse. So in her speech, she said, as graduation approaches, people keep asking, what do you want to do? And she said, how the hell do I know? I've changed my mind so many times. Apparently, it was well received at the time.
It?
Yeah. How the hell do I know is what she said.
That's all?
Laughter and applause from fellow graduates. But when she went to collect her diploma, they said they will not release her certificate until she writes an apology. Apparently, she says the speech was inspired by a scene in the Twilight Saga Eclipse movie where they did the same thing. I think it was maybe Nikki Reed's character who did the same thing. How the hell do I know? You know, so it was kind of a tribute to that because she's a twitard like
they are. I don't care if it is or isn't. That's stupid.
What? I mean, what year is it? I'm sorry. It's 2012. How offended can anyone be by how the hell do I know in 2012? Have people turned on television?
No.
Have they turned on the radio?
This is Oklahoma.
She was at the top of her class. She was a straight A student and the valedictorian. She says, by the way, she's not going to write the apology. Now, I don't know what that means. I mean, they can't take away the fact that you graduated from high school. She can still go on to college, which, by the way, she has a full scholarship for.
Well, good for her, then. She doesn't
she
need to apologize.
She just won't get a piece of paper is all. That's all they can do is hold back the piece of paper, right?
Yeah, nobody cares about
this
that.
This is their policy.
F word, MF word, S word, G word, D word, GD word.
Didn't hear any H word.
I'm trying to see, you know, you look at a story like this and you go, all right, where's the other side coming from?
Right.
And not sure
and
I see it.
Who's offended?
It's also not worth the effort to not write the letter. Who cares?
Yeah.
Sorry about it. Sorry I said hell.
Sorry about that thing.
Yeah. I mean, really, how difficult is that?
And F you.
Yeah.
She puts it at the end of the letter.
It's absurd, but it
but
also
since
is
there's no downside to her not doing it, why give in?
The only thing I can think is she did turn in a copy of her speech ahead of time and had heck in the speech, and maybe they made it very clear that you have to give the speech as was handed in to us.
Young
there's
lady,
no
heck is right on the line. Do not take it there.
So anyway, I love her, and I wish her well.
Okay.
All right. Bean loves her. That's what we found out.
I'm just saying. Look, you've got a straight A student, top of her class, valedictorian, has a college scholarship. You should be applauding that woman. You should be saying, you represent our high school beautifully. Thank you for working so hard.
Nice send-off, people, after all her hard work.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Fantastic.
Thank you. On the program today, we have Chris Stenzel, who is a tattoo artist. We're going to do a little follow-up investigation on the story that we broke yesterday.
We're going to do a little digging.
Which is that the newest, latest fad is to get a tattoo on your beehole.
Were we told we have to call it a beehole, by the way?
No, but
it just seems
our lawyers seem to really have a problem with the other word.
And I don't want to write a letter of apology.
Do you want to just... That's fine. We can say butthole. That's fine.
Oh, it's butthole.
Yes.
Oh.
You thought it was... Something else?
Tattoo on your butthole.
Yeah, seems bad, right?
Now, I know you guys were speaking about the woman who brought this to our attention yesterday, but have we found out, is that spreading? Is that a thing that people are doing? Or is that what we're talking to Chris about?
The headline was latest fade. Latest fad.
Okay.
So, and I don't want it to be a latest fad.
I mean, I've had one for years, but I didn't know that anybody else was doing that.
She got two guys' names, by the way, for those of you who didn't hear.
She is a charming, charming girl.
Two different guys.
That's so special for each of them. Unless they're tag-teaming them, why does one guy ever want to see the other guy's name?
I don't understand why one guy would want to see his own name. I mean, really. Thanks for that tweet, Bean, today.
How dare you?
We also have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices today.
Mm-hmm.
We have You Use Sex as a Weapon.
Oh, I love that story so much.
I don't know
if
you saw this, but Chad Ochocinco, his wife would not have sex with him until he scored a touchdown.
Well, it worked, right?
Did work, yeah. So we got that. We got Tony Cannell from No Doubt.
Wow.
Talking about the new album, Push and Shove.
Like that exists. Like that's real. Like that's ever coming out.
We could ask him about that.
Yeah, we'll see dinosaurs again before we'll see a new No Doubt album.
Plus Trashy the Sanitation Clown on today's Kevin and Bean Show. So
what happened now?
Stick around for that. We've got the Showbiz Beat.
LaQuisha takes a look at this week's Keeping Up with the Kardashians coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Good morning, boys and girls.
What's happening?
Let's give away some tickets to the very special K-Rock advance screening of a film called The Possession.
Yay!
Happens at the AMC Burbank next Tuesday, August the 28th. If you'd like to go, this looks creepy as all get out. I'm telling you, it's a story of a young girl who buys an antique at a yard sale, unaware that inside it lives an ancient spirit.
Dude, this is based on a true story.
Yeah, girl gets possessed. Father teams up with his ex-wife, the girl's mother, to try to end the curse that has taken over their child. Starring Jeffrey Dean Morgan, one of my favorite actors. Kira Sedgwick also co-stars in this film. If you'd like to see The Possession, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers who get through at that number will get a pair of passes to attend our advanced screening next Tuesday, August the 28th, and the Movies in Theaters Everywhere Friday the 31st. In case you don't win, don't feel
couple.
Bad, because you'll see it.
Couple.
See it a couple times. Sad news, comedian Phyllis Diller has passed away.
She was alive?
She was alive,
That's not
Kevin.
Supposed to be an insensitive joke,
and
honestly.
Now she is no longer alive.
Wow.
Hence the reason you're so broken up.
I'm not broken up, but
it is weird. We had a bunch of celebrities lately who have died around 95 years old.
People, yeah, these people. That's a good age.
That's a great age. We'd all sign up for that deal, I think. And she, I haven't seen her in the last couple of years, but
couple.
As recently as a few years ago, she still seemed like she was pretty sharp too, Ralph.
She was. She was sharp. Pretty much up until the end. And a very, very funny lady. A lot of people say, oh, well, Joan Rivers, you know, carved the path for so many young female comedians and stuff. I think Phyllis Diller did a lot more for female comedians than Joan Rivers did. And I thought she was funnier, too. She was picked up by Bob Hope in the 50s, pretty much, is when her career started. Took her on the road to entertain the troops. A lot of those USO shows, put her on his TV specials. And her career took off. She was a very funny lady. And
I don't know who any of those people are.
You don't know who Bob Hope is?
Sure, Bob Hope.
Okay. Henry Cavill of Superman fame is single. Good time to be single if you're going to be Superman.
No kidding.
He had a long-time engagement with a professional equestrian named Ellen Whitaker. but they have since broken it off. Apparently, they weren't getting along, which is a good reason to break off your engagement.
Sure.
And Rosie O'Donnell suffered a major heart attack last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that was quiet.
And lived to tell about it. Well, it was quiet, but then she had to go and have a press conference and talk about the fact that she had a heart attack, because apparently no one noticed. So she had to make sure that she was getting a lot of attention, a lot of press about the fact that she had a heart attack.
She had a press conference about it.
Well, she went to the Hollywood Reporter to report that she had a heart attack last week. She also revealed on her blog that she became nauseous and had clammy skin, threw up, and then talked herself out of the idea she was going into cardiac arrest. So she took some aspirin, went on the internet, did some research on the symptoms of a heart attack, took some aspirin, and then made an appointment with a cardiologist for the next day. The cardiologist gave her an EKG, sent her to the hospital immediately, where she had a stent put in to her coronary artery, which was 99% blocked.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, we were so close.
She sure took her sweet time.
That's what you get when you just mainline pancake batter all day long.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
What about the people who go to Rosie O'Donnell's blog? What about those people?
Yeah.
Should they be rounded up?
They should have heart attacks, too. Rosie says she's lucky to be alive. Lucky isn't a word I would use to describe it. And now she's back home recovering, so they've got her on a ho-ho drip, and I think she'll be fine after that. She's coming back stronger than ever.
Oprah's getting very clever the way she kills her rivals.
Yes, really. She's sending her baskets of Twinkies. And Tony Scott update. I thought this yesterday, and Lisa and I had a short conversation about this. Tony Scott, of course, the director-producer who took his own life by jumping off that bridge in San Pedro on Sunday. A lot of news outlets were saying, well, he jumped because he had inoperable brain tumor. That's what it was. ABC News reported, then People Magazine reported, yes, he had inoperable brain cancer, and that's right. Why he took his own life. He was despondent. And I said to Lisa, I said, I've seen one source on this. And we were watching the newsroom, and I said, you know, didn't it used to be the news services would wait until they got some sort of confirmation before reporting stuff?
Oh, yeah, that's the old days.
Yeah. Tony's widow, Donna, told police yesterday that he did not have brain cancer. So they're still trying to figure out the motivation behind his suicide.
So one person said it, everybody
reported it.
Yeah, yep. That's all they need anymore.
And now it was the consensus yesterday. Well, you hear why he did it, because he had brain cancer, that's why. His widow, which I assume she would know, said that he didn't have brain cancer. And there have been multiple suicide notes found, including one, part of one, in his car, and they're still trying to figure out the motivation behind it.
You don't know anything about journalism, Ralph, because the important thing is to be first with the most salacious details.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be right. Come on.
Yeah. I just remember the newsroom when they were talking about Gabby Giffords in Arizona.
Yeah.
Everybody, including NPR, was reporting that she was dead.
Yep.
And they wouldn't go with it, man. They wouldn't run with it.
Why not?
Not AGN, because they want to make sure they were right. It would be nice if there was a real news organization like the newsroom people, but that's just on TV.
That none of us would watch?
Yeah, I'd watch
apparently.
It. I'd watch it because I like Jeff Goldblum or Jeff Daniels. I'd watch. Today's celebrity birthdays. Hayden Panettiere. You know her as the cheerleader from Heroes, of course. 23 years old today. No bell for Hayden Panettiere?
I don't know. I just have Psycho Mike screaming at me in my head every year for hitting the bell.
Psycho Mike isn't here.
Yeah, okay.
The rest of the world is here.
All right. You remember, though.
It's tepid.
Usain Bolt is 26 years old today. He's fast.
Yes, he is.
Brody Jenner from The Hills, 29 years old today. Actress Alicia Witt is 37 years old today. Carrie Ann Moss, you know her from the Matrix film. She's 42. Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City is 56. Serge Tankian of System of a Down is 45. Clarence Williams III, that's right. He was Link.
Yeah.
On the Mod Squad, 73 years old today. And singer Kenny Rogers is unfortunately still alive. He's 74. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
How's this for a great night? October 5th at the Palladium, The Offspring and Neon Trees together. We are giving away tickets all week long here on the world-famous K-Rock, including, it's K-Rock, right?
I think.
Including right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Every time you win, you are qualified for stop number seven of The Offspring and Neon Trees in New York City. Grand prize drawing is going to be in.
God, it's like Kevin just read it.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Speaking of how dare you, are we really doing Thanks for That Tweet, Bean, again?
fetch that
tweet.
Look, if you'll stop making them, we'll stop talking about them. How about that? True. How's that deal?
That's true. It's been like 15 minutes since the last time you guys made fun of
them. Well, stop cranking them out at record pace.
We have people tweeting Ralph and I that we have to do things for that tweet being based on just one.
I am offended by the entire concept of this bit.
You really turn out bad tweets like Pringles makes potato chips.
People seem to enjoy them. People follow me on Twitter and they like it.
They're idiots.
It's voluntary. They don't have to.
They don't all like it. But I'm telling you.
The people that follow me want to follow me. If it's not for you, don't follow me.
No, they want to follow you so they can give us an alert.
That's right.
To do this bit because they know we don't follow you and have you blocked so we don't have to subject ourselves to these.
All right. What are you complaining about today?
So Chip, who we made look at your tweets, we make her follow them.
Uh-huh.
I says to her yesterday, I says, hey, do we have enough for thanks for that tweet being? And she looked at me and in a low voice, she said, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed she was weeping this morning when I came in. All right. What's the problem today?
Hold on. I got to get the sound effect ready.
Yeah.
Nice work, Omar.
Omar's still getting back to speed. He was on vacation a little bit. He has to,
All right. Hold on.
You're going to have to do it with your mouth, Omar.
All right.
Is that good?
Happy birthday, Benjamin Harrison, America's last bearded president. What's that about?
Thanks for that
tweet.
Really?
Look,
Pete, we don't need further clarification.
No, but I'm just saying.
We all understand it.
I'm saying almost all the presidents had beards, and then all of a sudden they just stopped. Like, why have, in 100 years, why hasn't a man with a beard been president?
Let me ask you a question.
Why?
Have you ever had a thought that you just thought, you know what, only I care? You never have.
Yeah, never had that.
That's never happened.
But this is significant.
That happens to all of us all the time.
Right, and I do that too, but this is about...
But then you tweet it.
The president of the United States. Do you think that people wouldn't vote for a guy with a beard? Because isn't that weird? It's been 100 years. More.
I couldn't be less interested.
Like every year, there's a guy running with a beard that no one will vote for.
Just
how many candidates
beard.
Have had beards?
I don't know, but it surprised me that after so long of having bearded presidents, all of a sudden we're in this giant drought, and I think the country is worse for it.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Beam.
I love the fact that he's co-opted my "What's That About" from my Justin Bieber bit.
That's
that
true.
First of all, he'll steal anything that's funny to use on the air. He'll say it all the time.
Oh,
now
I'll
he's
do that stealing. Too.
He's taking it from the air, and now he's using it in his horrible tweets.
In a place where it doesn't really make any sense.
It's not about Canada, it's not about Bieber, it's nothing.
Right. No,
that's just part of the language now. There's
that's
that
tweet.
Beam.
Oh, nice.
Spending the day in the hospital. I don't mean to complain, but none of the nurses look like any of the ones in the movies.
Thanks for that tweet.
Yeah, you don't look like patients in the movies either, by the way.
Your
giant hideousness. You don't look like Brad Pitt in the hospital.
They put the ugly nurses with the ugly patients.
Nurses in quotes, movies in quotes, because in porn, they always have
I'm
just saying, and then you go to the real hospital.
But we get it, right?
Thanks for that tweet.
No joke, I just heard Monster Mash on the radio. Finally, it's about time we got some Halloween up in this August.
Shut up, Omar.
Man. Just kill yourself.
Thanks for that tweet.
Beam. About half the people that follow me here put photographer in their bio. Doesn't that just mean I own a phone? # big deal.
It's a good point, you gotta admit.
First of all, you're going through every single person that follows you. You're going through their profile to find out if they have photographer in it.
No, not at all. It wasn't a scientific survey. It was just an observation.
How many people do you research that follow you?
Just that I had noticed it on several people, and I thought, how many people are really photographers? Or how many people just put that on their bio?
I think we understand that.
It just struck me as odd.
Thanks for that tweet.
It certainly is appropriate to take shots at half the people that follow you because it's a good idea to insult them.
They should be insulted.
I don't want to brag too much about who I'm going to see in concert tonight, but his name rhymes with Beard Pal. # eat it.
I saw Weird Al, you guys.
Yeah, we got that.
Best.
We got that.
Couldn't just say that, could you?
No, couldn't possibly. Where's the fun in that, Lisa?
Yeah,
actually communicating something to someone.
Thanks for your
wait.
Remember Vuvuzelas? Those were bad times.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Am I lying?
What?
Or am I telling the truth?
I don't think any of us have that as a part of our lives.
Remember how annoying the
vuvuzelas
were? No, why would
I remember that?
At the World Cup, and now the Olympics, and there's none, and it's awesome. Just saying.
Thanks for that
tweet.
America wins the gold medal every single year in mass gun shootings.
Oh, socially relevant.
Oh,
good.
I see.
He's got a message.
Satire.
Ooh. Everybody's going to learn from this one.
We have been on a roll this summer.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Help me with my list of things no one cares about. Your birthday, your kids, your pets, your dreams, your diet. What else?
Wow, what a gigantic, colossal dick you are.
Why am I a dick?
Because you're telling everyone who's following you that you could care less about them.
About anything in their lives.
Anybody but you sucks.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying.
Exactly what you're saying.
Read it again, Ralph. Read it again.
Help me with my list of things no one cares about. Your birthday, your kids, your pets, your dreams, your diet. What else?
That's just for starters, by the way. There's a lot more than that.
What a dick.
And of all people to talk about
writing
about things that no one cares about. The unmitigated balls to a guy you have.
To a guy who sends out pictures of his...
You can't use the F word, Ralph.
That, Ralph.
All right, I believe it's...
I heard the Monster Mash on the radio. Kill yourself.
Let me tell you about a guy who puts his money where his mouth is, and his name is Bill Gates. Here's a guy who made all the money in the world, was the richest man in the world for many, many years, and then decided one day I'm going to back off of Microsoft, which I created, and I'm going to start a foundation where I give hundreds of millions of dollars away every year.
And that's what he does.
And that is what he does. Yeah. That's his full-time job and going to other super rich people and saying, hey, give me all your money because we're trying to save the world.
Didn't Warren Buffett give him most of his money?
He sure did.
Can you imagine being his kids? Hey, Dad, slow down. Slow down.
Save $100 million for me.
I need a little something.
So he is all about the developing world. He's all about the countries around the world who basically have nothing and trying to keep those people alive and give them a better standard of life. And one of the things that he has turned his attention to is 1.5 million kids who die every year from diarrhea. Okay.
Oh, that's not how you want to go.
That is not how you want to go.
It's just
so. How about some proper sanitation as well? Bill Gates says so. He came up with something called the Reinvent the Toilet Fair, and I know it sounds like a joke, but basically he said, "Look, this is ridiculous. We're using toilets that we've been using for 150 years. They have to be hooked up to these expensive sewage systems. They take tons of water in order to operate. There has to be a better way." So just like those people who put up all that money for the people to go into space with a private vehicle, now he's trying to figure out who can make the best toilet that's the cheapest and the easiest that will work everywhere.
I'm happy he's doing that, but I am not interested in going to a sanitation fair.
It doesn't sound the reason that the toilet sanitation fair does not sound like so much fun. There was a team from the California Institute of Technology that won the top prize for a solar-powered toilet that produces hydrogen and electricity.
Produces?
Like, how does that? How? Huh. What? Another university in the UK took second place for a toilet that uses energy from the feces to decompose the waste and recover clean water. How is that possible?
Wow. That's impressive.
First of all, it's not.
You got to be super smart. And how do you get people to the sanitation fair? Like in the list of things, and this is up in Seattle, but in the list of things that there are to do on any given weekend.
What do you want to do this weekend? I don't know. You want to see a movie? Sanitation fair?
How do you get people to go to the sanitation fair? It must be a tough sell. So we asked producer Dave, is there any way he could line up somebody from the Seattle Sanitation Fair and especially the Reinvent the Toilet Fair and find out what the hell's going on up there? Hello, Kevin and Bean Show here. Who's this?
Hi, everybody. How are you?
We're good. Who's this?
I'm Trotz, the diarrhea clown.
God.
Hi.
You're Trotz the diarrhea clown.
That's right. Welcome to the Reinvent the Toilet Fair.
Okay,
thanks for coming to the fair, everybody. You want a corn dog?
Oh, God.
Oh, no. I don't want to eat anything surrounded by toilets, Trotz.
It's great here at the Reinvent the Toilet Fair. We're learning how to make less expensive toilets, high-tech toilets.
But I don't...
Sorry,
just a little clown fun.
Wow. Now, look, you're a clown. You're not trying to attract children to this fair. This is not something that
we are. We want kids to learn word about sanitation and building better toilets. We want to instill them a love for sanitation early on.
But it's just, oh, please stop that, Trotz. Seriously.
Trotz had some bad linguine.
Oh,
this just doesn't sound like it's fun at all for
It's fun for all ages. Look at all these different toilets we have to choose from. They're amazing. They're high-tech. They're toilets.
Right. Stop making that noise.
And they come very handy.
Oh,
when Trotz comes to town.
Oh, Trotz. This is really the only fair you could work at, isn't it?
The only one they let me at. I tried to go to a lot of them, but they turned me away, a lot of them.
What's funny about a
diet? That's not a horn either. That's coming out of me.
Oh, man. Ouch. Do you make balloon animals?
I sure do. You don't want to know what they're filled with, though.
No. Please stop, Trotz. You're the worst clown ever.
I'm the best clown. I'm Trotz the diarrhea clown.
No. Please stop. Oh.
I wish I could. I wish I would.
Have you seen a doctor? Is there some sort of a medicine that you could take or something?
I've taken it all. They said there's nothing that can help me except bringing joy to children everywhere. Watch the puddles, kid.
All right.
I'll tell you, these big shoes sure get in the way.
What 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Hey.
A little late. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
I don't know that we've ever done the topic of people who use sex as a weapon, but that's what's coming up in the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Beer mug, know anyone like that?
Yeah.
It is Tuesday morning, 6:51. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the show, Biz Beat, on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
You mean they have sex to hurt you? Like a weapon, like using a knife or a gun?
No, they withhold it until you do something.
I'm going to give you this herpes.
No.
Use it as a weapon like that?
No, I don't think that.
Well, then what are you talking about?
Withholding sex until you do what they want.
Oh. Or giving you sex if you do what they want.
It's the opposite of a weapon. It's like, I'm going to hurt you by not stabbing you.
See? Correct. There you go.
See? So I'm confused by your analogy. That's what I'm saying.
Sorry.
It's like not pulling the trigger on a gun to hurt someone. You guys live in a bizarre world.
But we just talked to Trotz, the diarrhea clown, so.
I like Trotz. I would hire him for a children's party.
Outdoors, though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's got to be an outdoor party.
Hey, guess what? Amanda Bynes is another car accident.
No, that's not true.
What are the odds? Apparently, 100%. Monday night, TMZ.com reporting she was driving in the San Fernando Valley around 8 p.m. when a car rear-ended her rental. Driver of the car claims Amanda made a reckless maneuver that triggered the collision. Cops showed up, but no one was ticketed. Apparently, Amanda's in a rental because her Beamer's in the body shop because she's had 3 hit and runs in the past 6 months.
Oh, my God.
We may have to do the phone topic of who's been involved in the most accidents in the some time period.
Amanda's been arrested for DUI, accused of 3 hit and runs. And cops also say she skipped out on them last March when they were writing her up for driving while talking on her cell phone. They pulled her over and they were writing the ticket and she just pulled off. She just took off.
How is she not in jail?
Yeah.
She
must have court dates.
She's worse than in jail. Look at her face these days. Look at that.
She's in fat jail.
I think she, every time she is in a hit and run, her face hits the steering column, apparently, because she's starting to get frying pan face, flat, fat frying pan face. Or it could be the booze. I don't know. Allegedly,
but they didn't take her in, so they didn't think she was drunk.
She got hit this time, but I would believe
Here's the thing,
that she
in
made
every
a bad
other
move.
Situation, insurance companies always say it's the fault of the person
correct
behind you for following too close if they rear-end you.
No matter what.
I think in this particular case, you have to give it to the person who was driving the car because I'm sure she did some effed-up maneuver that caused the accident, given her track record. But in case, for those of you following at home, you want to add to your Amanda Bynes?
That's crazy that much in this short of time.
Crash count. You got to keep the crash count going. How about a remake of the musical Annie? Are you ready for it?
No.
You want Annie? You want Annie back?
No.
Well, she came out like last year, didn't it?
No, Annie's been out for a while. But they are remaking it. Emma Thompson, British actress, screenwriter, and director, is apparently writing and starring in the movie. Not as Annie, of course.
I hope
not. She's Miss Hannigan in the film. She told the BBC that Jay-Z is writing the music for the film.
He's obsessed with Annie.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Remember he sampled that Hard Knock Life for his song in 98?
Well, okay, now it kind of sounds interesting.
How about if I add Willow Smith as Annie?
Now I'm out again.
Now I'm out.
Are you out again?
Yeah.
What if she whips her hair back and forth while she's an orphan?
Okay, now I'm back
now
in.
Now you're back in again? Yeah. That sounds like the biggest nightmare ever, just on every level. That's just a big mishmash of just bad ideas.
There's not one part of that that's good.
It's got a British broad to star in it that will put Jay-Z's music and Willow Smith and film it in the dark. And then we'll have just a guy sign languaging it.
This would be better if it started with whip my hair back and forth.
Oh, I see. I got you. Okay. Now I know why we sat through
Kevin
that.
Kevin was playing the long game.
Yeah. I don't know what you're doing over there. Either of you. I don't know what's going
on. Whip my hair back and forth. You just said it.
Well, Eddie Murphy's not dead.
Did we think he was?
Well, apparently there were rumors over the internet this weekend that he died while snowboarding in Switzerland. How many times are we going to hear this Eddie Murphy dies while snowboarding story before we stop buying it? Do they think it's funny because a black guy's snowboarding? Is that why people keep releasing the rumor? His representatives tell E! Online he is very much alive and well, and that all is well. Remain calm. All is well. Tony Scott, however, all is not well. He did take his life on Sunday.
Your soul is going to heaven.
Thanks, Muggs.
There was there were a lot of stories yesterday saying he had inoperable brain cancer. That's why he took his life. His widow, Donna, is announced to police yesterday that he did not have brain cancer. So they are looking at the suicide notes, still trying to figure out the motivation behind his taking his own life on Sunday. We'll have to wait and see.
Does he have friends that have seen him in the last year or something like that? Because it seemed like he was still working and there was all
he
that
was
talk
working
he was
going to
do the new Top Gun movie and whatnot.
I think a lot of people are shocked by this.
Yeah.
Including people he worked with. Mm. And we talked about the Michael J. Fox sitcom where he would play a husband and father who is suffering from Parkinson's disease. And we questioned whether it would be funny every week to follow an actor who actually has the disease playing someone who has the disease. Well, the network seemed to think it is a good idea. There was a hefty bidding war between CBS, ABC, and NBC, according to Daily Variety, and NBC won. And as promised, Michael J. Fox and his co-creators, a 22-episode commitment.
Wow.
So they're buying a full season of the series idea. So it looks like Michael J. Fox will be back on television next fall.
He is beloved.
He is beloved.
And I guess people love him.
I guess they figure, look, he's a genuine star. We have a chance to get him on our network, regardless of the subject matter of the show. Let's buy it. We'll have to wait and see. Tuesday's new release day on CD. You've got Hot Cakes by The Darkness. Chapter 5 by Trey Songz, Kiss the Ring by DJ Khalid, and also 4, the deluxe edition by Block Party. I think they're re-releasing 2 Destroyer, the new the Kiss album. Destroyer is being re-released today in a new digitally remastered version. DVD, The Dictator, starring Sacha Baron Cohen. If you missed that in theaters, you can check that out. Bernie, starring Jack Black, Shirley MacLaine, and Matthew McConaughey. And by all accounts, I didn't see this film, but Jack gives an amazing performance in this. And a new Disney Nature documentary called Chimpanzee, narrated by Tim Allen. You can check that out. That's a perfect match, Tim Allen with a chimpanzee documentary. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kenny Rogers is 74 years old today. As Lisa said, his face is 5. Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City is 56. Carrie Ann Moss celebrates her 42nd birthday. Serge Tankian in A System of a Down is 45 years old. Alicia Vitt celebrates her 37th birthday. Usain Bolt turns 26. And actress Hayden Panettiere of Heroes is 23 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Catching up with an old friend later this hour, Tony Canal, bass player for No Doubt, is going to be joining us in about 30 minutes or so, talking all about Push and Shove, new album from No Doubt. 11 years it's been since the last No Doubt album, by the way.
Still another month to go, though.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
September 25th, so we'll find out all about that. That's on the way. First, though, Sex as a Weapon. Stop you.
Unless you're Chad Ochocinco's wife.
I haven't, I don't think we've done this topic before of sex as a weapon, but I was watching Hard Knocks Miami, which, by the way, has been so great, as the Hard Knocks show always is on HBO. This is where the documentary that they go, you know, basically behind the scenes in a specific sport. This time it's Miami Dolphins.
Usually it's an NFL team.
Yeah, and it's just been great. And
that was a slap on the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes. They're not that good.
So Chad Ochocinco, who's been in the headlines for non-football related reasons, in fact, that's what led him to being cut from the team 2 weeks into training camp. He gave a he's not a guy who hides much. He shares.
Yeah.
And he said something that was so surprising to me about his wife, who, by the way, shortly after Chad lost his job, Chad Johnson, as he's now known, lost his job with the Dolphins and was arrested for domestic abuse. She filed for divorce. They've been married for 42 days, by the way.
But 42 days?
42 days they've been married, yeah. But they've been together for some time. And here's Chad Johnson talking about what it was like for him last season as he was playing for the New England Patriots. And I want you guys to think about this for a second. Think about the kind of support he had at home while he was out there trying to win big every Sunday.
You think the critics are bad, but when I'm not doing well, she's actually the worst critic of them all. I didn't have sex the entire season last year.
Okay, wait.
What?
Did he say he didn't have sex with his girlfriend the entire season?
The entire season.
Why?
Because of my play. Well, when I scored a touchdown, well, she allowed me to score, but after that, I went back on cobweb mode.
Are you serious?
I mean, really, that's just a woman making up an excuse, right? She just doesn't want to have sex.
But then she married
him. Then how did they end up getting married? Yeah, exactly. I don't know. So for the entire season that he was playing with the Patriots, he would get home on Sunday night, he'd walk in the door, and she'd be like, uh-uh. Because he didn't score a touchdown.
Every day in the huddle, he's like, come on, I can get open. I'm open across the middle. Come on.
You have to throw me the ball. You don't understand.
That's unbelievable.
So that's why the topic of the table is using sex as a weapon. Stop using sex as a weapon. 1-800-520-1067. So we are going to be looking for, I assume it's mostly going to be girls who are using sex as a weapon. Because I don't think there are very many gentlemen who are principled enough that they say, nope, I'm not going to have sex with you until you fill in the blank.
And she's
right?
Like, yeah, whatever.
So we'll take calls from girls that have done this or guys who've had it done to them.
Yes.
Sure.
At 1-800-520-1067.
So we're looking for stories of you withheld sex until you got what you wanted, or you would only give sex if, you know, in return, if you got something that you were looking for. So that's what we're looking for. 520-1067. We'll take your calls next, right after this, on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kiss.
Kevin and Bean.
Yeah.
New Kevin and Bean theme by the Lonely Island. They're going to play it every day from now on. Contractually bound to play it every day. And they will get sued if they don't.
And by every day, they mean once a week.
So Chad Ochocinco, former professional football player, says that his girlfriend would not have sex with him last season while he played for the Patriots unless he scored a touchdown. You score on the field, you score at home. Otherwise, freeze out. That got us into the topic of sex as a weapon, and you're taking your calls right now on 1-800-520-1067 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's start with Jacob, who's the guy that we thought we wouldn't get, who is the one who is doing the withholding of the sex from his girlfriend.
I don't buy that.
And then we'll take Kevin, you hang on, Nikki, you as well, and we're welcoming your calls too. Again, 1-800-520-1067. If you've used sex as a weapon, I say sex as a weapon.
Sorry, I felt like I was interrupting you last time.
Jacob, what's going on, dude? Tell us your lie.
I was going to college out of state at a university that didn't really help my girl at the time and I find jobs out of the state of the university. And we're both from Los Angeles, and we met there. We're both trying to move back to Los Angeles.
All right, so far, nothing you've told us helps your story at all. It is completely irrelevant and a time waster.
Okay, so she wasn't looking for a job. We're graduating into bad economic times. She's not looking. She's just whining. And I'm like, hey, I'm not going to move back to Los Angeles with an unemployed girl who doesn't want to even look for a job. So I withheld sex until she would get on a horse and find one. She didn't. We ended up breaking up over it.
Wow.
Wow, okay.
Dude. You wanted to break up with her anyway, though, right? There's no guy.
No, not really, but I also didn't want to be involved with the girl who was just getting an MRS degree and wanted to free ride.
How about that? So you told her, get on the horse before you get on the horse.
Yeah, she moved to her family's cabin in Utah. I think she's working as a waitress.
How long did this stalemate go on before you broke up with her?
Like about 3 months, I guess the last quarter of college.
You are a liar, sir.
I didn't say I wasn't getting any other than her. I just was
what a prize.
Wow. She's got to be so sad that she lost you. All right, Jacob, thank you very much for the call. Let's go down to Nikki. Let's talk to a real story from a real person. Nikki on line 3, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Sex as a weapon. What's going on?
Good morning, guys.
Hi there.
Yes, my boyfriend quit smoking in January, and now he wants me to quit. So he's using sex as a weapon. And the first couple of days I called his bluff and I kept smoking a cigarette every day. And sure enough, he held out on me every night. So I, needless to say, have quit smoking.
Quitting smoking
how
is,
about that?
Seems like to be one of the most difficult things in the world.
But that's how it horny Nikki was, though.
Oh, yes. It's not worth it at all.
How long did you hold out before you finally took the hint and said, all right, I got to seriously quit smoking, otherwise I'm never going to get laid again?
Honestly, not that long, about 3 days.
3 days.
Oh, wow.
She really,
Nikki's
really
a goer.
It.
Nikki is a goer.
Nicely done.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Cammy, line 4. Hi, Cammy. Thanks a lot for calling the Kevin and Mead Show. Hey, we're talking about sex as a weapon. What's going on, Cammy?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So my husband wouldn't shave his beard, and I really hated it. So I told him I wouldn't have sex until he shaved it, and he did the next day.
Well done.
It's funny that you don't really have to hold up that threat for very long.
No.
You either shave your beard or you're not getting any of this, and he went in and started shaving immediately.
That's a guy who wasn't very committed to his beard.
He first said, okay, well, we can do this. And then next day, he shaved it off.
That's funny.
That's hilarious.
Oh, you want to go that way? Okay, I'll take you on with that. And then the next day, he's groveling.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to line 2. I'm not sure what the name is here, but we've got another one talking about withholding sex on the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. Tony Canal from No Doubt joins us coming up next, too. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hi. Well, basically, my boyfriend decided to withhold sex on me because he says I'm too much of a brat. And he says, until the day goes by that we don't argue, he will not have sex with me.
Now, what kind of a threat is that?
It's horrible.
Until the day you don't have an argument.
Yeah, because he says I have attitude problems.
Doesn't sound like it to me.
You sound like a lovely flower.
You sound delightful.
So,
what kind of things do you fight about?
Everything.
Well, I don't know. It's just, I guess he's tired. I say, oh, let's have sex. He says no. And then, of course, that upsets me. And then we start an argument, and that makes it worse. So every time I bring up the subject of sex, he automatically gets mad and says, nope, you're being a brat. I don't want to do it.
How long have you guys been going out?
For about a year.
Wow. And are you one of those couples that breaks up every single day or every other day?
We used to be, actually, and it was because of that. Like, we would have little arguments about sex, and they'd be like, you know what, I want to be with you, I don't want to be with you. Like, 20 minutes later or the next day, oh, I'm sorry, you know, get all romantic.
It's,
I'm thinking, oh,
it's not supposed
to
be, no pun intended, it's not supposed to be that hard. It's really not. But thank you for the call, Sarah. We appreciate it. All right, let's do one more. Let's get Jeff on the line here. Jeff is calling for the same. Wait, your wife held out or you held out?
No, she held out.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And she held out until I got a vasectomy.
Oh, that's rough.
She was tired of taking on the birth control.
No, well, we had a baby. Actually, we had two. Mm-hmm. And the second one, she said, if you ever want to have sex again, you will go get fixed.
What about condoms in every other way?
Oh, no. Wasn't having it. Wasn't taking the chance.
Nothing
you guys actually talked to my wife. She's the one that told me she was going to divorce me if I got the Rodney on the Rock tattoo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're just a bad decision maker in general.
In general, right.
Absolutely.
So you had to agree to the vasectomy, then you had to get an appointment and then wait and then get it done and recover from it. So how long did you end up going before you had sex again?
Once I committed to the appointment and actually made the appointments that I was going to do it, it was all good.
Oh, okay. No, she was fine. Okay. She just wanted to make sure you were going to do it.
Oh, absolutely.
That's fantastic. Well done.
Drama queen.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Let's talk No Doubt.
Sunday.
popular what? Back in World War II? into the 50s? And then they took a few decades off, and now they are returning with a brand new album called Push and Shove, September 25th. Talking No Doubt, Tony. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? What's up, Kevin, Dean, Lisa?
Hello.
Good long time no talk.
I know. It has been a while.
So, wow, where do we even start? In a million years, you never thought when you made that last No Doubt record that it was going to be 11 years before the next one, right? I mean, the time just got away from y'all, right?
It did. We didn't think it was going to be that long, but so much happened, you know, in between those, in between the last record and this record. We started families. We have 8 kids between us now.
Wow!
Yeah, it's crazy.
Hey, birth control! You should introduce it to the band. Now, Tony, we've seen you many, many times at Acoustic Christmases and different shows and different things like that. You're always so nice. How incredibly satisfying is it to finally have an answer for when is the album coming out?
I know, right? Every time I see you, I'm like, well, we're working on it. Yep. It's going to come out soon. Well, finally, it's coming out September 25th. It feels incredible. We're super proud of this record. We've been working on it for a couple of years now, and it's definitely been a labor of love, and it feels great that it's finally coming out.
What a luxury, though, to be able to take the time off right when the kids are young and spend as much time as you want with them and not miss that like so many musicians do when they're so busy and on the road when the kids are growing up.
It's true. You know, when we started working on this record, we kind of like looked at ourselves and we said, we're not going to miss out on all that stuff. So, you know, however long it's going to take, that's what it's going to be.
You didn't feel any of the, hey, it's been 11 years now, how long is this album going to take?
Pressure? You know, I think once you're past the first few years, you start not worrying about that. Like, you know, it is what it is. And we went on the road in 2009, and it was, you know, I was skeptical about doing a tour in 2009. I was like, we don't have any new music, you know, but we needed to get inspired. And Gwen's like, let's just get out there and do what we've always done, is just play shows. And we had some, you know, writer's block right before that. And we got out there, and it was honestly the biggest and the best tour we've ever done. And it worked, because as soon as we got home, we had our first song like a few months later. So whatever happened on that stage was magical, and it really worked.
Isn't that interesting? In other words, just the proximity of one another working together, that just got the creative juices flowing, huh?
It did. You know, the four of us being back on stage together. And I think, you know, there were so many amazing things that happened on that tour. You know, the kids were on the side of the stage. There was only 6 kids at that point.
Yeah.
They're watching from the side of the stage. So, you know, here's... We've been together 26 years as a band now, and...
Wait a minute, are you counting the 11 years?
Okay, so we've been together 15 years as a band now. And, you know, I mean, just to go through all these incredible things together, like being the band that played in the garage together, and then being a band that traveled the world together, and now raising kids together, it's just... It is a really, like, you know, we don't take it for granted. We feel really blessed that we're this, you know, this far along.
I love, though, that it wasn't the situation like with the Rolling Stones, for instance. When those guys aren't making a record, they have no contact with one another. They might not talk to each other for 4 or 5 years.
Right.
You guys, it sounds like, are always in and out of their lives and staying in touch and actually just being friends first and kind of coworkers second, right?
Well, that's true, but we've been together for 26 years. Those guys have been together for 50 years, so talk to me in 25 years.
Yeah, that's true.
I have a feeling I'll have a different answer.
Things
for
may change.
Now, was part of the reason that this Push and Shove record, if you're just joining us, Tony Canal, bass player for No Doubt, on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the new album coming out September 25th. Was part of the reason you guys decided to record it locally in Southern California and not the way you've done other records where you fly all over the world? Is it for the same reason? Hey, let's be there for our kids and make the hours work a little better for us?
Yeah, that was it. We were especially for Gwen, being the mom of 2 boys, you know, you're somewhat limited in the studio hours that you can keep. In the past, when we made Rocksteady, we would be in the studio all day. We'd go out and party all night, honestly, because it was like fueling and inspiring us, and it was a different way of writing a record.
Right.
And this time, you know, we would get together about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so that way we could spend the whole day with our kids
until about 6 in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. 4 to 6, a 2-hour window.
And it's dinner.
Hope that something would happen. Yeah.
So without kids, that album would have taken about a month.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, it did. We were limited with the studio hours, but we persevered through it. And here we are now.
All right. How's everybody's golf game now that you've had some time to work on it? How's Adrian playing?
Adrian is, I think he's playing really well. I mean, he's the only golfer.
And, oh, he's the only one. Okay.
He's the only one, yeah. The 3 of us just, you know, kind of sit back and watch.
Right. Was there any concern, and No Doubt has always done their own thing, but was there any concern, hey, pop music, tastes change, is it going to be tough to kind of get back on people's radar when we've been gone so long?
You know, we're not the kind of band that can go in the studio and write
a hit song in a day. It just doesn't, it doesn't work like that for us. We, you know, when things happen, they happen, and when they don't, they don't. So it takes us some time to craft our music and stuff. So that's really not what we're focusing on. We're trying to make a record that we're proud of.
Right.
We have to get out there and get on stage and play these songs. So at the end of the day, we've done this long enough to know that if you're not happy with the songs, something's not going to connect. So, you know, at the end of the day, you're writing.
How do you guys write songs? What's the process? And do you write like 100 and narrow it down to 11?
In the past, we had that luxury. You know, we'd write 30 songs. We'd pick the best 10, or we'd vote on the 10 that we thought should be on the record. We didn't have that luxury this time. So this time it was all about, this song has to be the best song it can be. And we would spend time on a chorus and make it the best it could be. And then if the verse wasn't good enough, we'd spend a week on it and just keep going. But it was a different process writing. This was the first time that I actually picked up a mic and sat next to Gwen and sang melodies to her. If you heard me sing, it sounds horrible.
It's a huge positive.
It's a real problem.
Did she say we need you to take over the vocals for the band?
She did not. Oh, she absolutely did not. And when I said, when I, like, after getting through this writing process, I was like, hey, I did pretty good. Can I sing on stage? And she's like, absolutely not. Definitely cannot.
Everybody has to know their role.
Exactly. So it was a different way of writing. Tom would come up with some chords. We'd sit and just sing a ton of stuff and then go through it and pick the best stuff and just fine-tune it. And it was just a different way of writing.
Do you come across songs where you just are locked? You just can't get past arguing and you think it should be one way and so you just jettison the song?
I don't think that happened very much on this. No, we really didn't have the time to do that. Like
You took 2 years! Stop saying it was a rush!
We just, you know, I don't know. I think we were all on the same page. It sounds really weird, but we really were. So
well, how'd you decide on "Settle Down" as the first single? And is that representative of what the rest of the record's going to sound like?
It was really tough. It's like picking your favorite child. It's almost impossible to decide on the first single. You kind of take everybody's opinion into consideration, including, you know, our longtime manager and friends and. That one just kept coming back. Like yeah. People were like, "That's a good one to start with," and you know. For us, it's like it's all about the story of the record, and it is representative of the record, but I think there's so much... It's a typical No Doubt record. It's all over the place.
Is there anything that might be considered rock or alternative rock, or is it kind of mostly squarely in the pop and dance realm?
I would say there's definitely some rock stuff on there, too. Yeah.
Nice. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
All right. Tony Cannella on the phone with us here from the band No Doubt. Of course, we know the record comes out on September the 25th. I know that you want a tour. You want to play these songs, but I'm sure that's difficult to kind of plan based on everything you've told us. How big a tour do you think you'll do for this one?
I think we'll go big next year. I think this year is going to be primarily, you know, TV shows and promo and getting out there. And we're going to go to Europe a couple times this year. And we just got back from an amazing trip to New York where we took all of our kids. And we played a couple TV shows. We did Jimmy Fallon and Good Morning America. And, you know, I think this year's mostly... promo, but you know, you never know. We might announce some shows here too.
You're doing NFL kickoff game, right? On September 5th, right?
September 5th. Yeah, that's in a couple weeks. Yeah.
Do you have a team, Tony?
I don't. No, absolutely not.
Imagine what it's like when you're in the airport when No Doubt shows up with their 1,100 children. You're begging, please don't go on my flight. Please don't go on my flight.
You know, I've had some tricky flights. I have an 18-month-old daughter, and the flight to New York. We had the one guy in front of us who was turning around and telling my wife, like, how we should console our daughter.
Oh, no.
And the one thing you don't want to do is tell my wife how to raise our kids. So, I feel sorry for anyone sitting around us. So.
Sure. We can't, I mean, look, you've heard it every time you've opened your mouth or been in a conversation with somebody for the past few months. We're so happy to have you back. We missed you so much. You guys were so missed, and we're so happy about new No Doubt music. I'm glad that you guys are together and you're happy, and it sounds like you're proud of the record. We just can't wait to hear it, Tony.
Thank you so much, and thank you guys for playing it. We really do appreciate
it. You bet.
It.
Of course, man. Hope to see you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
So we're not done with talking about butthole tattoos after yesterday. There's more on that topic.
That's the new rage, Bean. You don't just mention it once and move on.
Our friend Chris is going to join us from the White Lotus Tattoo Place. He's going to tell us if, in fact, this is the next big thing, the butthole tattoos.
B-hole. The B-hole.
Why is it a B-hole?
I don't know.
That's what Kevin was calling it. Saying. B-hole.
Oh. You know, if you're going to go with letter, why not go with A-hole? Talk about the A-hole tattoo. That's better than the B-hole.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Well, if you're going to pick a letter, why would you go with the B-hole, which sounds like you're in eighth grade, versus the A-hole, which sounds at least we all know what you're talking about.
All right, good.
All right.
Noted.
A-hole.
And then get it tattooed while you're at it.
Get your anal tattooed.
It's coming up right out of the after the top of the hour. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Speaking of a-holes, Fred Durst back in the news.
Again?
Yeah, this is some BS here.
But they were going away.
He comes out. He says Limp Bizkit's over.
Right.
Then TMZ catches him coming out of Mr. Chow's restaurant in Beverly Hills last night. Yeah. And he announces that they've got a new single that's going to be coming out soon.
What?
He says the band is currently recording an album with Cash Money Records.
Oh, huge label.
And it's off the hook, man.
Well, that's good.
I'm glad it's off the hook. He also said, it's going to knock you out, man. So it's off the hook, man, and it's going to knock you out, man.
A lot of man in there.
Sounds like his lyrical content is still as strong as ever.
He's a poet. But they can't be done. Limp Bizkit can't be over and promoting a new record.
That's
they
what
can't
I'm
do
saying.
Both.
No, 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 no. You said it was over. That's... You don't get to no take backsies.
Yeah, he's legally required to be over if they say they're over.
Right. You said it. You meant it. You're here to represent it.
Exactly.
Word.
Word is bond.
Word is bond. Absolutely. That is science. Good news for Kevin Jonas. Not only is he married, but his new reality show, Married to Jonas, debuted Sunday night with about 1.8 million viewers.
Wow.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
That's big numbers.
Yeah. Some reality shows, like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which preceded that show, have much better ratings, but Married with Jonas was able to hold on to two-thirds of the Kardashian audience.
Oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
Yeah.
Have you seen his wife?
Kevin's not cute. No. Nick is.
Have you seen this guy's wife? She's got a hook for a nose. It's creepy.
It's not a hook.
It is. It's like a...
It's a ski slope.
It's a ski slope. Okay.
A hook would be like this.
All right.
That's
the other way
true. So it would be the other way around. Yeah. Would be a ski slope.
But it's super honked up, right?
Well, it's a massive nose job is what she had.
Oh, really?
She had
that's
a giant
after the nose
Italian
job?
Honker. And they went in there and carved 4 pounds of nose off her. Wow. And that's what she's left with.
They need to finish
anything,
the job.
Can't do anything with the length. You just had to take the bump out and the
wow
and, the massive amount of nose that was there.
It's distracting.
It's a lot for a Jonas.
It is a lot for a Jonas, but apparently his show is doing very well. Thank God! Thank God we get to see the true story of Jonas married to Skeenos in New Jersey. What would we watch?
Her name is Skeenos.
I think I know why Tony Scott took his life now. I'm starting to realize. The more I tell these stories, the more I say, Limp Bizkit's coming back. Married to Jonas is on television.
It's not a good time.
Maybe Tony saw the writing on the wall and said, it's time for me to kiss some water.
Wow.
Wow.
You know why he didn't take his life?
Why?
Although ABC and People Magazine wanted us to believe he had inoperable brain cancer. Turns out didn't have inoperable brain cancer at all.
I saw that report everywhere.
Doesn't someone have to check their news? Look, I know. I can say anything because I'm a goofy guy on the radio. And I know, just websites and blogs and stuff. And you can just spew crap out there because everyone understands that you're goofballs.
But we would expect people...
But ABC News...
Yeah. We would expect people to take your stories and maybe Google them and really
double check me.
Yeah.
I'm an a-hole.
But ABC News should have...
Or a b-hole, if you're talking to Kevin. I'm just a guy who doesn't know what he's talking about.
And you admit that.
But if you're ABC News or People Magazine, which is supposed to be a reputable publication, shouldn't somebody be checking this stuff out?
You'd think.
His widow, Donna, said he didn't have brain cancer, everybody. So let's look for some other reason.
That would have
took his life.
Made it a much neater package. It would have been a lot more understandable that he, saw the future and realized.
I said this at the time when we talked about it on Monday. I said, if you are a person with a serious illness and you're going to take your own life, psychologists say ordinarily you would lay down and take some pills or even a gunshot wound to the head or something someplace at home. To do it in a very public forum like that, it's as if he was making a statement of some kind.
Yeah, that's true.
Either look at me, or I'm angry at someone, or I'll teach you. There was something behind that gesture, other than just taking his own life. It's a very violent, very, very public way to go. So I think the answer is still out there. And we may never know. You never know what's in somebody's mind. But
was this in the news?
It was. It was in the news. As was, since we're talking about the passing of talented people, Phyllis Diller, legendary comedian Phyllis Diller, has passed away at the age of 95. Now, however, People Magazine reported that she's dead, so I'm thinking she might be alive.
Oh, no.
That's all I'm saying.
Can't trust them.
You can't. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Hayden Panettiere, Heroes fame, is 23 years old today. Usain Bolt, he is fast. He's a fast guy.
He's the greatest athlete of all time. Just ask him.
Yeah, that's what he says.
He's 26 years old. Alicia Witt, very lovely and talented actress, is 37 years old. Carrie Ann Moss from the Matrix films, 42. Serge Tankian in The System of a Down turns 45. Clarence Williams III, he was Link on Mod Squad. That's all he ever needs to be. He was also Prince's dad, I think, in Purple Rain, wasn't he? Didn't he also have that role as well? Mm. He is 73 years old today. I see him around town all the time. Very popular guy. And Kenny Rogers, singer-songwriter, is 74. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Just announced, by the way, the Offspring and Neon Trees in New York City, destination number 7 of the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012, all week long, including this hour on the Kevin Bean Show. We'll be hooking you up with tickets to see both bands at the Palladium on October the 5th, and then we do the grand prize drawing on Friday to send you to New York.
Yesterday we talked about the new trend that I hope is a new trend. I really do. I hope this catches on big time because this is awesome.
Why are you so excited about this?
I don't know, because it's just absurd. It's absurd because if you get your butthole tattooed, let's just say that that happens.
Okay.
Let's say you're walking around naked.
Okay.
Still, people can't see it.
Right.
Like, you have to be a contortionist for people to be able to see that.
Yeah. Well, and you can say you had it done and never have had it done. No one's ever going to know the difference.
But this girl...
I had two guys' names on it.
Did have it done.
I love her.
And she's proud of it, too.
Two guys.
Wasn't this video at the tattoo convention. I mean, she would show anybody who was interested, right?
She was trying to.
Just spread them, right?
Yeah.
So is this a one-time thing? Is she like the first and only person who's ever gotten the butthole tattoo?
No, or it's is this new trend.
This is the new trend. So when we saw that, we said there's only one person we need to talk to, and that's our friend Chris Stenzel from White Lotus Tattoo, who joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's up on all the new tattoo trends. Chris, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
This, you say hi, Lisa, like you already got her in mind for a butthole tattoo.
Maybe I already have one. You don't know.
This story, as you know, Chris, has just been everywhere. People are fascinated with the butthole tattoo. And I know that people get every square inch of their bodies tattooed sometimes, but I've never heard of this before. Is this a thing?
Apparently it is.
Yes! It's a thing!
I wouldn't say she's the pioneer of it. It's been around for a little while now. I've had some personal experience with this myself.
You have? And, you've done a butthole tattoo?
I was tricked into it, if you will.
What?
How does that happen?
A lot of people get tricked into things that have to do with the butt.
She got a little rose tattooed on the top of her butt crack.
Right.
She wanted the stem to, like, just disappear into the very top.
I see. You didn't know that at first.
Well, no, that wasn't a part of the deal, and she kept checking it and making sure that, you know, she wanted to see if it was long enough, and it was never seemed to be long enough until we were about a half an inch away from her spaghetti house,
now,
if you will.
At that point, how painful is that? I mean, there's different areas of the body that are more painful, less painful for a tattoo.
I have no idea how painful that is.
Seems to me like that's a little sensitive.
Yeah, I would say that's probably, when it comes down to it, that's pretty much the most sensitive spot. But people seem to be into it, you know? I mean, the kids love it.
the kids do love it. That's true.
They love it.
What was her reaction? What was her threshold for the pain when you started working on the rose down there?
She seemed to be just totally fine with it. I expected her to be jumping all over the place, but she didn't react any different than someone getting their arm tattooed. But I would imagine it's extremely painful. I'm never going to give it a try myself.
Are you positive that she wasn't just hitting on you? She's trying to get you down there?
She may have been. I don't know. Yeah. She was going about it all wrong.
So you've tattooed virtually every part of a person's body, right?
I've never tattooed the male anatomy, but
I'm surprised.
I always wanted mine to be tattooed black. I just thought that'd be funny.
It would be hilarious, right?
Yeah. Just for comedy.
Make me look bigger.
would you have any problems? Would it be, it would not apparently be a deal breaker for you to be asked to tattoo a butthole?
I think I would take it on a butthole by butthole basis.
Yeah, depending on
that. Do you have to see it first, Chris?
You don't want to deal with a crazy person's butthole, you know?
No, you might need a weed eater. You might need a weed whacker to take care of that.
Doc of the Rock walks in. Sorry, we're closed. Right. But Megan Fox walks in. All of a sudden, you've got some time, right?
Now, take your ass somewhere else.
There's not much real estate to work with down there, right? And what's the deal, if you've done any kind of research on this, what's the deal with the butthole tattoos others are getting across the country? What kinds of things
I've noticed in my little bit of research is that a lot of people go for the starfish design.
Sure.
Probably thinking that they're the first to do it. But
it seems to be
that's the common. It's either a name or a lettering around it. or it's a starfish design or some sort of sea creature incorporated into the butthole. But, yeah.
Let me ask you another question. What about the healing process? You're supposed to leave it alone for quite some time.
Do you cut out all fiber?
It doesn't seem like, unless you glue things shut, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
Yeah, I would just imagine you would just have to time it right before you go in the shower or something. I don't know.
I mean, not to be too gross, but you're supposed to keep it even dry, right?
Keep it clean, but there you are, you know, kind of crapping all over.
Yeah. No, we got that, Chris.
I'm pretty sure we understood the context of that and what it meant.
Kevin,
what about your girlfriend from yesterday? She has two different men's names tattooed on her butthole.
Awesome.
Did she explain why? Why two?
No.
Okay.
But I can't imagine that one would like to see the other one while there.
Right.
Yeah.
That seems odd.
All right. White Lotus is in Laguna Hills, right, Chris, if I remember correctly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and what's the price for a butthole tattoo, if our Kevin and Bean listeners, if they say Kevin and Bean at the door, what's the price for a butthole tattoo this week only?
Let's say on the scale of 1 to 10, it's a 7 to a 10 butthole. I mean, really, we're not looking at bad ones.
We're talking like high-quality butthole, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. What would something like that cost the listener?
A minimum handling fee of $200, and then we'll take it from there. I'm not sure. I'm not in the, you know, I haven't priced out too many buttholes.
Okay.
And of course, just about to, my friend.
It depends on the complexity of the tattoo as well, beyond that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It depends on the butthole.
You guys are doing great work out there, and I love that you said the kids love it. I love that you told us that.
That's true. This woman loves it. Butthole tattoos. Butthole tattoos. Oh, we got a theme song. Butthole tattoos.
Butthole tattoos. Oh, wow.
That was good right to the end, right?
I'm sorry you had to hear that, Chris. And I'm sorry for the door we've opened for listeners who are driving toward you right now because it sounds like the best idea they've ever heard.
Are you there? Oh, he hung up.
I don't blame him after he heard that.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks. Good talk.
So Chris writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account wondering if High Quality Butthole is playing Coachella next year. You know we can't announce the bands this early out. Come on.
I think that one would be all right.
I think it'd be,
to let it leak. So to speak.
I'm sure they've already sold out anyway. Hey, speaking of buttholes, Psycho Mike Cather went on the phone.
Yeah.
What's going on, Michael?
Hey, dude.
Oh, you know butthole stuff.
Remember when you were on the show and we were talking about bleaching and how that's the new thing?
Yeah.
And you went down and you got it bleached?
I sure do.
Good times, right?
It was beautiful. I had a beautiful butthole for quite some time.
There's a new thing, and it's tattooing. Yeah. Now, it seems to me like you've got a nice blank canvas.
Yeah, I mean, we can certainly get it back to that. I mean, I may have let my anus slip a little bit, but
nobody wants their anus to slip. I know that for a fact.
Mike, we thought of you for a number of reasons. A, you enjoy tattoos. How many do you have right now?
At this point, it's like one. Like once
you're a liar.
It's just one big one.
I see.
That's what I'm saying is, like, after you get to a certain point, you stop saying, I have this many tattoos. You just have one giant one.
Now, are they all above the waist so far?
Except one, yeah. Except one.
You have one on part of your leg?
Yeah, like the top of my thigh. But it's not like in a
it's just an arrow
area.
It's just an arrow pointing.
This pointing, right?
it's actually pointing to a magnifying glass, which has been surgically connected to my body. So I can help women find my wee-wee.
From what we understand, that's necessary. So you've got nothing on the butt at all. I mean, you could do as big or as small a tattoo as you wanted and then just have the butthole be kind of the focal point of it. That could be the mouth on the clown or whatever you chose it to be, right?
Yeah, totally.
I wonder if our listeners would help us out real quick with some suggestions, because here's what we know about Mike. If we came up with a funny enough idea.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we could talk Mike into getting a butthole tattoo.
That's true.
I really do.
But he has to find it funny. That's the key. If he doesn't find it funny, he's not so into it. If he finds it funny, we won't have to pay him a penny. He'll just do it on his own.
No, I mean, that's the whole point of inconspicuous tattoos is that they're hysterical.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, call us right now, kids, at 1-800-520-1067. If you've got an awesome idea for a butthole tattoo, we're going to try to talk Mike into it. Hey, while the phones
how about the lyrics to Supermassive Black Hole? That entire song.
That's not bad. That's not a bad idea.
All right. Good. While we're waiting for the phones to ring, while they're dialing in with the ideas for the butthole tattoos, real quick, Mike, as you know, is the co-host of Loveline 5 nights a week here on K-Rock with Dr. Drew.
You can do it live on Loveline.
You have just started something called Loveline Instant Access. Michael, what's that about?
It's essentially during one of the commercial breaks, 42 minutes after the first hour, the Loveline audience gets total access to Simone, myself, and Dr. Drew. You can ask any question you want via the video stream, and we'll answer it as best we can via the video stream. So it's like right there, it's kind of 6 minutes of total access to us, any question you want to ask.
Somebody do us a favor and ask Mike about this tonight on his show on the internet. Somebody ask him about the button.
The very first question asked on Loveline Instant Access last night was to me, and it's how much do I miss being on the Kevin and Bean show?
Oh, that's nice.
It's nice until you hear the answer.
You said not at all.
I said, well, I really do miss it until they started asking me about tattooing my butthole.
All right. So those of us just joining us, butthole tattoos are a real thing, apparently. We all fell deeply in love with the woman who got hers done at the tattoo convention in Florida. Now Psycho Mike is on the line. We're trying to talk him into it, and we're not going to have to if the idea is good enough. So let's take some calls, and let's start with Lewis. He's on line one to get us going here at 1-800-520-1067. I think best if you can incorporate the butthole into the visual.
Oh, has to be, yeah.
But let's see what Lewis has got for us. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, party people? Lisa May.
Hello.
What's your idea?
But my idea, I want to open up back the original suggestion that you guys made a while back, that it'd be the Mike, Kevin, and Bean human centipede.
Wow. Wait, whose mouth does that have to be? Because I'd like to jockey for position.
Mike, you do love the human centipede, right?
I love it so much.
I'd like to be the caboose in that particular.
All right, Lewis, thank you for the call. Let's keep track of that. Let's see what Clint has. I think Clint has an idea on line two that kind of incorporates the anatomy involved.
All right, Clint, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
So I'm thinking he should do kind of like a space scene with stars and the moon and everything, and then with the butt being the actual black hole.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The black hole.
Ladies and gentlemen.
See?
How about that? It could be a whole astronomy theme. You could put, you know, the planets there and stars and everything.
Except for Pluto.
And then but then you have a black hole, Mike.
It'd be the chocolate Milky Way.
you could actually teach children with that about.
From school to school.
Show and tell. Let's go to Tanya. Tanya is on line 7. Call her with a butthole suggestion for us. Hi, Tanya. Welcome to the show.
Hi, sorry.
I was thinking either exit only, or if you prefer, maybe in and out.
Oh wow!
In and out.
See,
but see, he doesn't need in and out.
Because it's well known?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Josh on line 6. Joshua, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. If your suggestion is good enough, it could end up on Mike's ass.
To bring my dog into it.
All right. Let's try Ivan. Ivan is on line 2 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ivan, you got something that appeals to the Mexican in Mike. What do you got?
I do. It's a good old-fashioned spider web, cholo style. Oh,
Mike.
Oh.
See? Did you hear Mike's?
Every time I kill someone, I can add a rung to the
spider web. That does sound like the kind of tattoo you'd have to get done in prison, but I guess you could get it on the outside as well.
Yeah, it'd be pretty sweet.
I'm slightly on the inside.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. How much did it hurt when you did the bleaching, Mike?
The bleaching itself actually didn't hurt at all. In fact, it was quite relieving. The waxing in preparation for the bleaching was terrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
I got you. Mm. All right. Let's just do one more. Let's do Thomas real quick. He's on line 3. Thomas, what do you got for Mike?
I think I got the best one. How about a self-portrait of Mike blowing a kiss?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, Mike does love Mike.
So his mouth is
the butthole.
Mike?
That's not bad.
That's not bad, right?
That's not bad, but it would have to be like a really good artist, because I don't want that depiction of me to be anything lackluster.
Want it to be beautiful.
Yeah. That's more important than my wedding pictures.
Spoke with Tony Canal from No Doubt about an hour ago here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chip is hard at work putting that up at krock.com. It should be up in a little while if you missed the interview. Had a lot to say about the new album coming out on September 25th and the plans for a No Doubt tour and what it was like to be away for so long and all sorts of good stuff. So happy that those guys are back.
Me too. All right, time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, people.
What do you got?
We have Irwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo.
Oh, poor Irwin.
Toto, the tornado kitten.
Giant Indian Death Spiders, mm-hmm. Houdini, the Australian Runaway Goat,
uh-huh.
Thriller, Michael Jackson's Tiger in Heaven, the Brazilian Penis Snake, the beer-drinking Home Invasion Bears, the swinging polar bear, Harvey Dent the Two-Faced Kitten, the badass super soldier ants.
Wow.
And the Icelandic worm monster.
Did we finally just gave up on Survival Kitty? Survival Kitty got bumped from the wheel, it looks like.
Yeah, he's...
Oh, it never landed on Survival Kitty.
Too many kitties.
Too many kitties, that's the problem.
All right, so that's the options that we have. We're going to spin the wheel. It is time for the Kevin Bean Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. It's gonna land.
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad. But Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, man, give it a good spin there.
Oh, nice.
That felt good.
That looked good.
Oh, the beer-guzzling home invasion bears.
Yeah!
Fantastic.
I can't believe how many bear stories there have been lately with bears that are getting into places where they're not supposed to be.
They must be hungry.
Did you guys see the video the other day, the surveillance video of the bear that went into a convenience store?
No.
Walked all the way like at a 7-Eleven.
Sounds like a setup for a joke.
No.
So a bear and a priest walked into a convenience store.
No. He just walked in and went all the way out, and he took out like about $100 worth of chocolate, of candy bars and stuff like that with him. But it was crazy. But this story goes to Norway is where we are. We're talking about a mother bear and her three cubs that broke into a Norwegian cabin this week, reportedly drinking more than 100 beers, eating all the food, knocking over a wall. The entire cabin was destroyed, said the residents when they returned. Paw prints on the cabin windows, bear excrement everywhere.
Oh.
The mother and the grandmother were the first on the scene, finding the entire cabin ransacked, including appliances destroyed, beds, stoves, oven, cupboards, and shelves all smashed into pieces.
Do you think 100 beers is enough to get a bear a little lit?
Who has 100 beers in their cabin?
Well, you got to stock up, Lisa. Maybe you can't get out.
You know, it's a long-ass winter in Norway. I guess you do. You go to the store right when it starts to snow.
So we asked producer Dave if there's any way he could line up for us somebody to talk about the story, and I believe we go now to Norway to find out about the bears that drank 100 beers in someone's cabin. Hello? Are you one of the bears?
Yes, I'm one of the bears. How are you today?
We're doing fine. Your English is very good, sir.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I've been working for a long time on speaking my English goodly.
Well, your English is very goodly. So are you the mother bear or are you one of the three cubs?
No, I'm one of the children of my mother.
Okay. So what happened? What happened with this poor woman's cabin that you broke into?
Well, we were thirsty and hungry.
Right.
And so a mother bear, being good provider, says, let's go inside the cabin and have something to eat and drink.
Okay.
So we went to another cabin, but all they had was porridge.
Oh, that's not good.
And their beds were very hard.
Right.
So we decided to go to another. What are you laughing about?
Wait, so who's there with you?
My brother bear, Omar.
Oh, really? Bear? Okay, gotcha.
So we decided to go to another cabin, and they have beer there.
Ah, that's...
Which is much preferable to porridge.
Of that course. Is much better, yeah. So,
oh yeah, right there.
Everyone know.
You're drinking now. You're still drinking.
How do you get that pop? How do you get that pop top open with your paw?
I have incredibly strong paws and claws.
I see.
Okay.
I can rip top off of your skull. Okay. I can easily get into a beer.
All right.
Okay, you want me to prove it?
No, I can see. All right, I
would be happy to pop your head off like a zit.
I believe you.
Okay.
So, 100 beers, and you also ate all of the food.
That's among four of us, though, keep in mind.
Well, that is only 25 beers a person. That's right.
So shut up.
No, that's
make us sound like we're drunk.
I'm not accusing you of having a problem.
No, you do. I sense a little bit accusing tone in your voice.
No, it's a lot.
I don't think I like it.
No,
I can smell it from a distance. You know, we have excellent sense of smell.
Over the phone?
Yes.
Huh. It just seems like for one sitting, it seems like 100 beers among four people, three of them kids, is a lot. That's all.
Well, listen, the legal drinking age for bear is 2.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
It's not the same in people years.
You ate
before you start making accusations.
All of the food inside the cabin, including chocolate spread,
yes,
honey,
all the chocolate is good.
Marshmallows, the whole deal.
Honey, of course.
That sounds like a party.
I know honey's a little stereotypical.
Sure.
what with Winnie the Pooh and all.
Wow. You really know your bear legends.
I am bear. Why would I not know about bear?
That's good. That's a good point.
Know that Benjamin Harrison was the last president with a beard?
Now, why would you know that?
Well, I'm saying you know people things. I know bear things.
I certainly know bear things.
I know Winnie the Pooh. I know Paddington. I know Yogi. I know all bears.
Don't act stupid.
I don't think I like where this phone call is going,
frankly. We just wanted to check in with the bears that were drinking beer. That's all. We didn't know.
Well, I think I'm done talking with you now.
Oh, come on. Don't be that
I don't like your snide tone.
No, that's not at all. We're just trying to find out. Got nothing against you. Okay, we'll take that as a hint that you're pretty much dead with us then.
I would like to maul you now.
I hardly think that thanks for that tweet being as necessary. Again, coming up after the top of the hour, I don't think we need to revisit that
feature. This was a good sesh.
How dare you?
You are not a good tweeter.
That's Ralph's... like you get roaches back in your apartment and say, well, I hardly think it's time to call the exterminator again and just let the roaches run around. No, we clean the roaches out, but now the roaches are back. You have to call the exterminator again. That's correct. You don't have a choice.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have passes to give away to the K-Rock Advance screening of a movie called The Possession.
This looks so creepy.
It looks awesome.
You know the true story behind this about the thing that nobody would take? They kept everyone who got it got sick or bad things happened to them, and they just keep passing it around and selling it, and the bad luck goes with it. It's just insane.
I do not know that story. Now I know less about it now than you explained it to me than I did before.
I was trying to put it together, and
that didn't help.
It's
a thing with the sick and the people and
the go. It's like a piece of furniture or something like that that everybody who has it in his house regrets it. It's a beautiful piece of furniture that people want, and then they realize all these bad things start happening to them, and then they say, I got to get rid of this. This thing is cursed. And it's based on a true story, and that's what this movie is with this killer cast.
In this film, a young girl gets an antique box at a yard sale, and apparently there is a malicious ancient spirit that lives inside the collectible that possesses the girl. Her father and the girl's mother, his ex-wife, have to find a way to end the curse that is upon their child. The Possession is called, with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, one of my favorite actors. Love him in Magic City. Kira Sedgwick, of course, the closer. Mrs. Kevin Bacon, she's in the film as well. You can check it out. Modest Yahoo's in this film.
What?
You won't recognize him without his beard.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
That's enough. That's reason enough to go.
Modest Yahoo.
If you'd like to go, it's Tuesday, August the 28th at the AMC Burbank. We're doing a special advance screening. Movies and Theaters Everywhere on Friday, August the 31st. But you can see it for everybody else if you're one of the first two callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Call and win right now. This Tony Scott story gets stranger and stranger. Tony, of course, took his own life on Sunday, jumped from a bridge in San Pedro. There was a rumor going around that he had inoperable brain cancer. That's why he took his life. That has been proven not to be the case. His wife said he was not diagnosed with brain cancer. His brother, Ridley Scott, has immediately suspended production of his latest movie, The Counselor, in London to fly to Los Angeles to be with the family. And it looks like Tony left several notes behind, including a list of people to contact immediately and let them know that he committed suicide.
Wow.
One was a note apparently left in his office, which apparently has some motivations. It's more of a traditional suicide note. Another note was strictly a name of names and phone numbers of people who should be contacted so that you can know right away that it happened. So it gets odder and odder. He put a lot of thought into
this. Have they shared any of the motivations in that first note?
No. No one knows what's in the note. And as I mentioned before, I don't think they're under any obligation to release it, so we may never know if the family feels that it's something private. But
I have to ask a question, though.
Strange.
And I know everybody's wanting to know. What does this mean for Top Gun 2? Are they still going to go on with it?
I don't know.
Too soon to ask that question?
No, it was good. It was a good question. Sensitive and heartfelt. We all appreciate it. Tom Cruise, speaking of Top Gun, issued a statement saying that Tony was his dear friend. I would really miss him. Gene Hackman has come forward and said, we've lost a wonderful creative talent. Ron Howard tweeted that it was a tragic day, and Robert Rodriguez also thanked Tony Scott for his inspiration, advice, encouragement, and decades of entertainment.
What about the Jersey Shore? Have they weighed in?
They haven't yet. I'm waiting to hear what Snooki has to say, but so far we don't.
What's your favorite Tony Scott movie, by the way, Ralph?
True Romance.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
That's my favorite. Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes.
She's good.
Yes.
Say no more.
She was in The Hunger Games, of course. Star Magazine is reporting that she is beyond ticked off that Kristen Stewart got the lead in a movie called Lie Down in Darkness. She thinks she got it simply because she cheated on Robert Pattinson and can give the film a lot of publicity, and Jennifer was nudged out of the limelight because of that.
The director made that decision. Hey, yeah. She sleeps with directors. I'm in.
So Jennifer apparently wanted that role. I was upset that Kristen Stewart got it instead of her.
Wouldn't you be?
I would be upset if I lost any acting role to Kristen Stewart. Yes.
And she's Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, come on.
Yes.
Yeah. She should get everything.
Better in every way.
Yes. She should get everything, and Kristen should get nothing.
Shocking.
Don't feel bad if you were left out of the Jessica Biel, Justin Timberlake wedding over the weekend. I know I did. I thought I'd be invited for sure. Turns out the wedding never took place.
The one that you've been reporting on all day yesterday has taken place?
Yep. Well, I said even then, I said the rumors were that they were getting married in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, because a lot of their friends and family were showing up, and it was a top secret event. But it turns out that wasn't the case. Apparently, someone who spoke to a member of Justin Timberlake's family said the Justin is filming currently in Puerto Rico, and they're not quite ready to exchange their IDs. So it looks like the Jackson Hole story. No one knows why people were converging on Jackson Hole, but it wasn't for the Jessica Biel Justin Timberlake wedding.
What's everyone's level of interest on whether they ever get married or not? Because mine is none.
Yeah, I don't care either.
People do. I don't know why.
Lisa, do you care whether they're married or not?
Not particularly. No.
I think
weddings
just,
and babies seem to be headline grabbers and magazine
factor.
Sellers.
Yeah.
And CBS has announced the cast for the next Survivor Philippines, begins on September the 19th. A few celebrities in the mix this time around. Former MVP of the National League, Jeff Kent, is in the cast this time around. And Blair from The Facts of Life, Lisa Welchel, also going to the Philippines for Survivor. Former Miss Delaware, Katie Hansen.
Is this an all-star edition?
No, it's just regular people. And these people happen to be celebrities who also applied along with everyone else. And they just got picked by producers to go on the adventure. So I'm looking forward to it. I still watch every season. My wife and I are really into it. So that's kind of one of the things we sit down and watch together. And it's still good. It's still entertaining. It's still one of the best reality shows on television by far in terms of being actually interesting.
I moved on to The Amazing Race from that. I haven't watched that
it's
in
another
a while,
good one, too, but... yeah. So I'll be checking out Blair from The Facts of Life.
She won't last long.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
She'll last longer than Miss whatever that pageant was, Miss Delaware.
She'll last longer than Tootie would have, I'll tell you that much. or Joe's cerebral palsy cousin, Jerry. Remember her? I want to be a stand-up comedian. Aww. Yeah, I'm just saying. She would not be good on Survivor. That's all I'm saying. Am I wrong? Would Jerry be good on Survivor?
I believe you're correct, sir.
Then thank you. Mm-hmm. Today's celebrity birthday is Kenny Rogers is 74 years old today. I'm going to get some email. Clarence Williams III, Link, from the Mod Squad, 73 years old today. Kim Cattrall is 56 years old. Serge Tankian of System of a Down turns 45. Carrie Ann Moss, you know her from lots of movies, but probably most of the Matrix films, 42 years old. Alicia Vitt is 37. Brody Jenner, 29 years old today. You know, we should have known those Jenners were up to no goddamn good when Brody was foisted upon us with the Hills. Now we got all the other Jenners, too. We got Kendall and Chlamydia Jenner. And
I don't think there's a Chlamydia.
The two little girls.
Yeah, but I don't think one of them is Chlamydia.
It's Cialis and Chlamydia.
I don't think so, but
could be wrong.
Usain Bolt is 26 years old today. Hayden Panettiere from Heroes is 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
How come Muse has a new song out and Kevin and Bean don't get to play it, by the way? Why don't they trust us with nice things?
We break them.
Seriously.
We ruin everything we touch.
That song is going to be damaged by us playing it?
Yes.
It'll
be less good.
It's no good anymore once Kevin and Bean play it?
We get our
put your stank
on
all over and it's less good. Everyone knows that.
It just occurred to me as we're getting ready to say goodbye here on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean show.
Maybe if you didn't have those glasses, you'd be able to play Muse. Maybe that's the deal you could make.
Somehow I don't think
if you didn't wear goofy-ass glasses, they would let you play cool music.
We can't trust that guy with new music.
Look at Waldo. How do we let Waldo play new Muse? That's what they think to themselves when they find you.
Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat for the day. What's going on?
I just want to hear more about Bean being a good husband. That's all I want.
Just wait till tomorrow.
I'm an excellent husband.
Not good, Ralph.
Excellent.
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 Outstanding.
And from everything we know about you,
I'm not outstanding at anything.
We can buy it.
I wish you were outstanding outside this office. I don't know what to say.
About
Push Girls. The series on the Sundance Channel about the four paralyzed girls
wheeling around in wheelchairs.
I brought in clips when the first episode aired.
I remember that.
And we were like, not for us.
We're like, really? Push Girls? This is a show?
Yeah.
And it is. It's a show that just got renewed for a second season.
Wow.
Congratulations, Push Girls. Look, I'm not against them having a TV show. Mm-hmm. I'm just shocked.
That people are watching it.
That the people are watching it, and that we haven't told all the stories we can tell in a season. We need more episodes to really cover spokes. We haven't gotten to the spokes part of their
They're
lives
talking
yet.
About the actual wheels.
Little flats, and just say, what could happen? You're paralyzed, you're in a wheelchair. Lines. How many adventures do you have in you? I'm saying.
Well, there's that one girl, the hot blonde, who drives really, really crazy, because what does she have to lose? There's her. That's interesting.
You got that.
More disadvantaged TV news. Michael J. Fox. I told you, he was putting together a sitcom about a guy, a husband and a father, who has Parkinson's disease, loosely based on Michael's life. And when by loosely, I say it sounds exactly like Michael J. Fox's life. The networks got into a bidding war over who would have the rights to air this show and make it part of their lineup. CBS, ABC, and NBC. All bid heavily, according to Daily Variety. But NBC won and promised a 22-episode commitment.
That's a lot. It's like 13 or something, right?
Sometimes they'll just say, look, we'll give you like a 10-episode order. We'll renew it if it does well, only going to commit to 10 and see how it goes. But they're taking a flyer on this one and doing a whole 22-episode season.
So. You know, they have that that Q rating that you talk about from time to time, Ralph, mm-hmm. of the celebrities that have the highest positive reaction among their among TV viewers, and Michael J. Fox has got to be one of those guys who's just everybody wants because he's universally loved.
He's great, and
talented,
he's a great actor.
Guy, yeah,
and he's been great on The Good Wife and Curb Your Enthusiasm, his most recent work. And here's a guy who thought he'd have to retire from acting, and did when he got the early onset of Parkinson's. He was on Spin City and said, "Look, I don't want to bring down this show for everyone else, so I'm gonna take a leave now." And they brought in Charlie Sheen to take over as lead of that show.
Look how that worked out.
And now he's back on television. So I will be curious to see how it all works out. So we got wheelchairs over here. We got shaky over here. I just want to make sure I get the lay of the TV land. Just make sure. Just looking out for the able body just to see where we fit in.
There may not be jobs
on the schedule for fall. Just want to see if there's any room left.
You're showing up on auditions now.
Can't get a job. Can't get a TV
and
show
they're
off
saying,
the ground.
Don't need any walkers.
I'm in negotiations now about a network that doesn't want anything to do with me. So I'm just curious.
Is that a negotiation if they don't want anything to do with you?
Well, it was initially.
Oh, okay.
We started negotiating and then we asked for something and then they said, no, we're not going to give you that.
Well, you don't have any tremors and you're getting around on your own.
If someone could just kneecap me, if someone has a... You have a jack in your trunk or something, you can just come out here and
could you just give me
a good whack in my femur. If you could just give me a compound fracture or something, maybe I'd have a running shot. Just saying. That's all I'm saying. Ryan Lochte, he's going to be on television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's giving work to the mentally handicapped.
He's got a show coming up. He's going to be on 90210. A lot of people are going to be on television.
Thousands, I would say.
Is there anyone in particular who's not going to be on
television?
Looks
like I'm not going to be on television. No, but I'll be on in January.
Yeah, you got a show.
Joe Schmo 3.
It's in the can, man.
They can't take that away from
it. They might not air it.
No, they announced it. They're going to air it. However, Stephen King's project, The Dark Tower, which I've been looking forward to for so long now, is running into another roadblock. Ron Howard and Brian Grazer's company, Imagine Entertainment, took the prospective trilogy of films to Universal, where it was bagged when it was in the development stage. Then they took it to Warner Brothers. Looks like it was going to happen there. They announced today they are dropping the project as well. So
just too expensive to make?
It's a big, big project, and it's a lot of commitment, and you have to commit to three movies. You can't just do one and see how it goes. But it's a great book series and comic and graphic novel series. Russell Crowe is interested in playing the lead. He'd be perfect. So no word on why everyone's passing, but there is a lot of money involved, and everyone is frugal these days when it comes to investing their money in big-time movie projects.
Except for Push Girls.
Push Girls, thanks.
All the money in
not
the world.
Not a money world to throw at them. What do you need? You need a camera and four chairs. That's why. It's a cheap show to produce. You know what they save on? Shoes. Not a lot of
among don't other wear things. Them out.
No, shoes last forever for those girls. A very small shoe budget.
Keep going. You won't be on radio soon, too, Rob.
Will the sun come out tomorrow? Looks like an Annie remake. We'll let us know. Emma Thompson. actress, writer, director. She is writing and starring in the movie. Will play Miss Hannigan in the new Annie reboot. It's going to be a major motion picture. She tells the BBC that Jay-Z is going to be doing the music. And Willow Smith will be playing Annie.
So this is quite the updated version.
It sure is. It's going to be different and not as good.
Doesn't sound like it.
No. So they got that going for
them. There hasn't been a great movie of the Annie play yet, has there? I know there have been filmed versions, but there hasn't been one.
There's only been one filmed version of the musical.
Only one. Okay.
And I liked it. I thought it was good.
Has Jay-Z written anything for anyone else? It seems like he just writes raps he can do. I don't know how many people.
Oh, that's interesting.
Can write for other.
I wonder if they're talking about he'll record it and they'll use his music in the movie, or if other people are going to be singing his music.
Hmm. Well, I can imagine they're going to use the actual songs from the Broadway musical, right?
Well, what's he going to write?
Maybe he'll do the treatment, you know. Maybe he'll do
the score,
the score and stuff. Hmm. Yeah, maybe it'll be his version.
He's certainly talented. I just don't know that he's written for anyone else.
He did that with Hard Knock Life when he did that. Yeah. That was based on an Annie song, so I guess he's got the history. And while we're talking music, Fred Durst is threatening us with more Limp Bizkit music.
You just said he quit.
I know. He said
he
that
quit for the United States.
He said he wasn't going to tour in the United States. That's
tour.
For sure.
Okay.
And he said that Fred said that Limp Bizkit is over. A lot of people followed them in 2000, but those people have moved on. He had said as much. He announced it. And then TMZ's talking to him as he comes out of Mr. Chow's restaurant in Beverly Hills, and he says they've got a new album in the works, and he said it's off the hook, and it's going to knock you out.
Both?
Both of those things.
And other cliches that he couldn't think of at the
time?
Will
it knock me off the hook before I go out? Or will I be out on the hook before I'm knocked out? I'm confused. The new single doesn't have a release date yet, but Fred says it'll be soon, so... I don't know what to believe anymore, man.
I think I am falling on the side of let's not have any more of them. Let's put that.
Let's give Fred a TV show, though.
Let's give him.
Well, let's put him in a wheelchair first.
Yes.
I want to be the one responsible for that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Hayden Panettiere. Or Peyton Panettiere is 23 years old today. Usain Bolt. He is fast. He is 26 years old. Alicia Vitt, very talented, lovely actress, is 37 years old. Carrie Ann Moss is 42. Serge Tankian of System of a Down is 45. Kim Cattrall, of course, from Sex and the City, is 56 years old. And Kenny Rogers is 74. Kenny Rogers.
Quite a career. Been a big star since the 60s.
Been around for a long time.
But you look at the before and after and after and after and after.
Oh,
shocking. It's shocking. Yeah.
He's not the same person.
No.
Yeah, he and Bruce Jenner should get together and have a form a support group.
Bad plastic surgeons.
They should put them on TV is what they should do. The two of those guys should have a TV show called Push Faces.
I like it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have Boss Rutan in the studio.
Wow.
Talking MMA. Love that.
I'm going to kick his ass.
How many car accidents have you been in, Ralph? You
know? I have been in one.
One?
Yes.
Dave, King of Mexico, just told us eight.
What the what?
Yeah, eight.
You should stop driving. That's Amanda Bynes territory.
The Amanda Bynes is where the story comes from. So tomorrow we're going to ask you how many accidents you've been in. And if you can beat eight, which I'm guessing most of our listeners can.
It's not my fault.
How does the story end tomorrow? A brand new edition of that. We have Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs Down Under.
Yes.
In the studio tomorrow.
Guys, I love Mike Rowe and his voice. Sounds like this.
And Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Mm.
All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and